me by throwing me off a mountain. Not clear whether that was a good or a bad thing. Evie beamed smugly, thinking it rather obvious.
That sounds like me, she panted, hoisting herself higher. Typical hero stuff, and you, the helpless damsel.
Ignoring his painful grimace, she crawled onto the bed, finding her balance before lifting a hand to her temple.
Tell me honestly, is there something wrong with my head?
Yes, he answered automatically.
No, look at it. Seriously, I think there's something wrong.
His eyes flitted up before widening in surprise. For a moment, it looked like he was trying to figure it out himself. Then his face cleared with a sudden smile. You look fine. It's a vast improvement. Her cheeks paled with sudden dread.
What does that?
A noise sounded in the distance, and they abruptly fell quiet. There was nothing overtly threatening about the little house. Quite the contrary, in spite of its strange design, the place was downright cozy. It made them feel protected, drowsy, safe. Just like the witch's cabin. Just like the wizard's cave. Evie, I don't think I can stand, Elandem breathed, keeping his eyes on the window. A sun-swept lawn stretched just outside, bordered by wildflowers and a tiny wooden fence. Do you have a weapon? Could you manage some fire? She shook her head faintly, following his gaze. There were footsteps, still a good way off, but getting steadily closer. If it wasn't for her father's shifter blood, she probably wouldn't have been able to hear them. And while they might have been kept alive, even perhaps dragged out of harm's way, the only thing her mind could register was that they'd been brought there against their will. And the house only had one door.
We'll have to make a run for it, she said, heaving herself up at the same time.
As soon as she did, the room tilted, and she fell back onto the fae's chest.
Okay, maybe we'll walk.
There was a muffled gasp, and a strong hand flung her to the floor.
Seven hells! Everly!
The fae leaned back painfully, feeling the bandages on his chest. A bloom of blood had seeped through the second it made contact with her elbow, and the world was suddenly unsteady. Her mouth fell open in shock.
Holy crap! Elandin, you're still bleeding!
His eyes found her slowly before closing in a silent prayer.
Not today, he told himself quietly. But soon, when she thinks she's safe, when she's not expecting...
What are you saying?
Nothing.
He lifted himself higher, paling with the effort. Twice he tried swinging his legs off the bed, but he stopped short both times.
I'm not sure walking away is in the cards, but if you can get out, go right now. Try to shift and get back to the fort, before whoever's coming.
But however he was going to finish that sentence, they'd never know, because at that exact moment, the door flew open and a beautiful woman stepped into the house. For a split second, both teenagers just stared, frozen with identical looks of shock. Then Evie lifted a hand to her head.
Seven hells, she murmured faintly. It's even worse than I thought.
When Evie was a little girl, she used to wander the halls of her mother's castle, looking up at the royal portraits, dreaming about what it would be like if those people were to step out of their ancient frames and walk the halls beside her, gifted with a sudden burst of life. Each one came with their own legend. Each one came with their own story. But she'd always liked one story the best. Her grandmother, Adelaide Grey, was more than just a lovely portrait. She was more than just a beloved monarch taken too soon, another tragic casualty of the Damaris bloodline. She was the beginning of it all, the beginning of the adventure. The ruby pendant, upon which hung the fate of the world, had been placed around her slender neck. It was in her veins that the first Damaris magic had sparked to life, the heart of a dragon, the fire of a queen.